Elizabeth II. By the grace of God, of the United Kingdom, of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of our realm and territory, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith, to our trusty and well-beloved Lieutenant General Edward Grant Martin Davis, Companion of our Most Excellent Order of the Bath, Commander of our Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, greeting. We do, by this our permission, under our son, Manuel and Sickness, appoint you to set Lieutenant General Edward Grant Martin Davis to be our Governor and Commander-in-Chief in and over territory of Gibraltar during our slavery. With all the powers, rights, privileges, and advantages to the said office belonging or appertaining. And we do direct that your appointment shall take effect from the time of your taking and subscribing oath in accordance with the Constitution of Gibraltar. And we do hereby command all in singular our officers and loving subjects in our said territory and all others whom it may concern to take notice thereof and to give their ready obedience in accordance with the Constitution of Gibraltar and other laws in force in our said territory. And we do hereby direct that this our commission shall determine upon certification to that effect being given by us to one of our principal secretaries of state. Given our quarter engagement, this 20th day of November 2015, in the 64th year of our reign, by Her Majesty's command, Philip Cameron.
I, Edward Grant Martin Davis, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, her heir and successor, according to the law. So help me God. I, Edward Grant Martin Davis, do swear that I will be well and truly served Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, her heirs and successors, in the office of Governor and Commander-in-Chief of the City of Gibraltar. So help me God.
Thank you.
The Honourable the Chief Minister.
Your Excellency, on behalf of the people of Gibraltar, on behalf of the Majesty's Government of Gibraltar, and as leader of this House, I have the privilege of being the first to formally welcome you and your wife Lorraine to your new home in Gibraltar. It is indeed a pleasure to also be the first person to have the honour to address you formally by your new style. You are now the representative of Her Majesty in Gibraltar. And it is right, of course, that as the representative and embodiment of Her Majesty's Queen, it should be in this fair Gibraltar Parliament, the beating heart of Gibraltar's democracy and the root of its civil institutions, that we should formally welcome and congratulate you. Both your new style and your new home will no doubt be slightly unusual to start with, but I'm sure that you will find it easy to live your new life amongst us. And I have no doubt that apart from making a home here on the Rock, you will also soon make many friends in this community. Because the sheer cliff and the sheer experience of the Rock of Gibraltar betrays a soft and hospitable core, strengthened by the warmth of the character of its great people. A people who have had their identity sculpted by sacrifice, not least in the last century, during the Second World War, when the women and children of the evacuation generation, described by one of your predecessors as useless mouths, were evacuated from their homes and cast into an international diaspora. We have been commemorating the 75th anniversary of that evacuation in this past year, a poignant way of understanding the importance of that seminal event in our modern history is to understand that some saw it as the potential end of the civilian population of Gibraltar as a community. Instead, it was the making of us as a nation. A nation that enjoys a vibrant, something too vibrant, if there is such a thing, democracy. And indeed, you might wish to spare a thought for Mr. Speaker, who sits next to you today, given that he's the one that has to corral all of that vibrancy into some element of order during our debate. In fact, you will be aware, Your Excellency, that we recently held a general election, which saw a robust debate of the choices for the future facing our people. That election has resulted in the 17 members being here today in this chamber. Tomorrow, we will formally start our work as a parliament. The five new members of it will get the chance to question the government and speak in debate for the first time in these coming days. And one of the most senior elected members in the Commonwealth, the Honourable David Sun, will continue his tireless work for the nation that he loves and has been an architect of building. Work, incidentally, which he started 44 years ago in this way. As a register from our newest, least experienced members to our veteran and most seasoned father of the house, one of the most important aspects of the work we will do in this generation will be in this first month when we meet to deliberate on the European Union referendum bill. Because, Your Excellency, the decision on whether or not the United Kingdom should remain a part of the European Union is one which will, in great measure, be determinative of our long-term fortunes as a nation. Because it will be apparent to you as it is to all of us that Europe matters to Gibraltar. Not only are we a part of continental Europe, we also enjoy freedom of movement throughout the EU, and we are also able to access the single European market from Gibraltar in a way that has been a catalyst to economic growth since the joining. Public opinion in Gibraltar is therefore broadly in favour of continued membership of the European Union. And that position, I believe, is also reflected in this chamber. And I believe that we will see a unified Gibraltar position in this important coming referendum. Interestingly, in the past days, we've heard that the United Kingdom, that in the Treasury there and other departments, are not doing any planning for the eventuality that the United Kingdom might vote to leave the European Union. Here, we are leaving nothing to chance, and we are already in the process of undertaking an economic study for the purpose of analysing the different possible permutations of membership of the EU, EFTA, or the EEA, including the potential effect on our export economy of membership of the Common Customs Union. Indeed, the EU has become such an important part of our national legal order that specific provision is made in Section 37 of our Constitution that, without prejudice to the United Kingdom's responsibility for Gibraltar's compliance with European Union law, matters which under the Constitution are the responsibility of ministers shall not cease to be so, even though they arise in the context of the European Union. In effect, that paragraph casts out EU matters from the otherwise purported catch-all reference to external affairs, which are one of Your Excellency's special responsibilities. On this side of the House, we have been elected with a specific mandate to establish a select committee of this Parliament to consider what, if any, changes should be proposed to the text of this Constitution. And given the specific reference to the European Union within the Constitution itself, it is therefore particularly important that this work be done in best planning for a potential British exit from the EU. The Constitution is presently framed forms the basis of the relationship between the United Kingdom and Gibraltar, which, whether or not it is based on colonialism, has not seen us removed from the UN list of colonies, and which 10 years on is now not as modern as it might have been 10 years ago. The previous select committee, in the run-up to the negotiations which led to the 2006 text, proposed certain reforms which remain outstanding. And so, if there are changes which we can agree with the United Kingdom to make the Constitution, which would advance Gibraltar's removal from the UN list of non-self-governing territories, then that is something which every right-thinking libertarian will wish to see pursued in the context of continued British sovereignty in perpetuity. This is work which must be community-wide and done in the most open and transparent manner. I expect to be constituting that select committee very soon indeed. There will also be another select committee that will further consider the workings of the House and how best to further modernise its work. We have already done much in this respect. We have refurbished this chamber and introduced cameras to provide broadcast and online video streaming of its proceedings. These things might be taken for granted elsewhere, but are our recent innovations here. I alert you to these technological steps on the road of e-government, because the advertisement that happily led to your appointment made much of the need for the representation of a modern image. We are certainly modern in this chamber, and as a community, of course, we boast one of the most avant-garde industries in the online gaming industry. Because as well as being economically sound and politically stable, Gibraltar is a modern and socially advanced society, which is mature in its outlook and in its attitude to the rest of the world. Indeed, we've been working hard to establish strong commercial and political links with all our neighbours. We have successfully strengthened our relationship with the Kingdom of Morocco across the Straits of Gibraltar. We have not been successful with the Kingdom of Spain, but not for want of trying. In the past 4 years, the political representatives of Spain have been determined to return to bilateral negotiations with the United Kingdom in respect of the sovereignty of Gibraltar over the heads of the Gibraltarians. That, of course, has failed and will always continue to fail, because the only people who will ever be able to freely determine the future of Gibraltar will be the people of Gibraltar. And that unimpeachable right of self-determination is not one which admits of any reasonable accommodation of the illegitimate claims of others. Because the sovereignty of our home, your home now too, is exclusively a matter for the people of Gibraltar. Indeed, it was one of your predecessors, the distinguished and much-loved General Sir William Jackson, who coined the very appropriate phrase that Gibraltar is neither Spain's to claim nor Britain's to give. It is the rock of the Gibraltarians. That is the position in a nutshell. We nonetheless continue to be strongly committed to a trilateral forum for dialogue in which Spain, the United Kingdom, and Gibraltar would be able to consider together any matters of mutually beneficial interest without touching the issue of sovereignty. And there is much we could do together with our neighbours to further promote economic growth for mutual benefit. This time last year, the Chamber of Commerce in Gibraltar disclosed the results of an economic impact study which reflected just how great the impact of Gibraltar's industries are in the area around us. One in four jobs, one quarter in the region around us, is attributed to Gibraltar, up from one in six in 2009. In fact, we are the second largest employer in Andalusia after the regional government, or the Junta de Andalusia, as it is known. And Gibraltar's economy now accounts for 1/4 of the GDP of our neighbouring region in Spain, up from 1/8 in 2009. Also, Gibraltar increased the GDP of the region by over £500 billion, which amounts to nearly 750 million euros. And all of that, Your Excellency, at a time when the government of Spain has closed all doors to widespread economic cooperation and has seemed more intent on the pointless navigation of our territorial seas, those through which, in time-honored tradition, you arrived this morning, than in any meaningful law enforcement partnership. But we believe that the interests of Gibraltar and the region lie in leaving behind the confrontation that some seem to seek in these past 4 years, while pursuing instead closer economic cooperation, which could enable the real potential for growth on both sides of the frontier to truly flourish and produce even greater wealth. And all of that without the need for another potentially highly polluting refinery to be established in the Bay of Gibraltar. But we are not limiting our vision for the development of our economy to the immediate landscape. Today's globalized environment creates opportunities for Gibraltar around the globe. That is why we are now established in London, Brussels, Hong Kong, and the United States, and are soon to be established in other nations too, as we spread our commercial reach. And the private sector in Gibraltar is driving progress, which will be of great interest to international investors in those and other locations. The World Trade Center is nearing topping out sales. We continue to positively progress our negotiations on the development of the Eastside Blue Water Resort, and we are in advanced negotiations in respect of the potential for the redevelopment of the central site named after Admiral Rook, one of the many sites being handed over by the Ministry of Defence as surplus to defence requirements. Whilst the adjacent Midtown development, an old Navy playing field, is now being redeveloped, funded by a local consortium. Previously, our economy was almost fully dependent on the Ministry of Defence spending. Today, that is a fraction of what it once was, but that makes it no less significant. Not least because the United Kingdom is responsible for and guarantees the defence of our sovereignty. And we have seen some fairly regular calls of larger naval vessels in the past month, asserting British sovereignty over British Gibraltar territorial waters in that respect. But also because a large number of Gibraltarians continue to provide loyal service to the MOD as locally employed civilians. Their continued employment and the quality of that employment is a matter to which we are committed to and on which I expect to soon be engaged in substantive and no doubt positive discussion with the Armed Forces Minister. A good moment to reflect, Your Excellency, on the fact that one of the happiest and proudest parts of your role here will no doubt be the opportunity to work with the Royal Gibraltar Regiment. The people of Gibraltar are rightly proud of the regiment, and you will no doubt enjoy your association with a band of men and women who are a credit to the British Army. Their motto, "Nulli et pugnabili hosti," conquered by no enemy, is a fitting motto with which all in Gibraltar associate. But we are no less proud of our association also with the Royal Marine Corps, of which we have been Commandant General, like our two former Royal Marine Governors of recent memory. There is a long and enduring relationship, immortalised in your battle honour, which I know the Marines are equally proud of. For Gibraltar today appears to be proud of being associated with. We are a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-religious community with an enviable measure of political and economic stability. A nation that has just established a national bank and a university, enjoying the third highest GDP per capita in the world, and boasting employment levels at record highs and unemployment levels at record lows, and enviably low public debt by any measure. Our work in government will be to assure that continued prosperity going forward, especially in these challenging times for all democratic nations. The threat to our security, especially on the shores of the Mediterranean, are multifaceted and can bring deep economic consequences. And your undoubted experience in these fields is very welcome indeed. Experience in Gibraltar is something which is certainly not lacking in the lady who has ably held the fort in the interregnum between the departure of Jim Dutton and their arrival here today. Alison Mullen has for over 20 years been a friend of Gibraltar and of many Gibraltarians from across the political and social divide. My first person here was now 2 decades ago, and I know that she, Julian, Elizabeth Cameron cherished their time in Gibraltar. Your Excellency would have no better guide for your early days in post, negotiating the difficulties inherent in your presentation of the monarch in a modern Westminster-style democracy. For now, it is worth remembering that Section 49 of the current Constitution provides that the governor, that is to say, you, will keep the Chief Minister fully informed of the general conduct of those matters for which you are responsible. And Section 52 provides that the governor and the Chief Minister, that is to say, you and me, for now at least, shall confer on a regular basis and the Chief Minister shall brief and keep the governor informed about the policies of the government and the public affairs of Gibraltar. We are clearly about to get to know each other much better. I, for one, very much look forward to it, and at the time that we will spend together, we'll be working in the common public interest of Gibraltar. With goodwill and hard work, I have no doubt we will achieve the standard of each generation of our predecessors, and that we will greatly advance the general interest of Gibraltar and its people in so doing. And as we undertake that work, Gibraltar will take you and your wife to its heart. So all that remains for me to say is welcome home to Gibraltar.
The Honourable the Leader of the Opposition.
Your Excellency, Mr. Speaker, Chief Justice, and our distinguished guests, it gives me great pleasure on behalf of Her Majesty's Opposition to formally welcome Your Excellency and your Lady Wife Lorraine to Gibraltar. In December 2013, when I first welcomed Sir James and Lady Dutton to Gibraltar in this very ceremony, I told them, and I quote, "You come to Gibraltar at a critical time in our history," end quote. Well, it seems that nothing changes because you too come to Gibraltar at a critical time in our history. For better or for worse, you will rapidly find there is never a dull moment when it comes to the affairs of this small nation of ours. Be it the challenges we will no doubt face and face, or the challenges that we will face in discharging the important inherent duty that your position carries to help the government of the day defend or advance the reasonable aspirations of this community, including in its dealings with the United Kingdom government, where there may well be, at times, disagreements. You will no doubt feel like a batsman being bowled bounces from every direction, including, I have to say, the occasional unplayable delivery from some of us inside this house. I have no doubt that you will do so with a straight back, and that in the time that you will spend amongst us, you will find yourself made to feel very much at home. And I hope that you will make lifelong friends in Gibraltar and win over the hearts of the people of this small community. But it is a critical time for our small nation. The Prime Minister has promised a win-out referendum on Europe by the end of 2017. While in the United Kingdom, there has always been a significant level of Euroscepticism in the Labour as well as the Conservative Party. Gibraltar feels very much that its place is at the heart of Europe. The debate in Europe and the United Kingdom is a debate that we would rather not happen, but it is happening, and we need to protect our own interests. For us, important as voting in an EU referendum is for Gibraltar, our vote will be but a drop in the ocean when it is added to the tens of millions of voters in the United Kingdom. The real challenge for us is in protecting our interests in any deal that the Prime Minister might be considering with our EU partners. That means, however difficult the task, attempting to identify what impact that deal might have on important areas of business in Gibraltar and identifying, too, what opportunities there will be for Spain in trying to take advantage of the situation to exclude us from parts of that deal which might have an adverse impact on those areas of business. History has a habit of repeating itself, and it will not be the first or probably the last time that Spain uses the EU to advance its position
in respect of Gibraltar and vigilance is absolutely essential. The government is spending considerable amounts of money on Gibraltar office in Brussels, and these are the issues that I would expect them to be working on. This is also an issue that should be dealt with on a cross-party basis, and if that does not happen, it will not be for want of trying on this side of the House. The government also wants to embark on a process of constitutional reform and says that it wants to set up a cross-party select committee for that purpose. I repeat in this House, Your Excellency, what I said to the people of Gibraltar yesterday in my New Year's message. One of the cornerstones of GMB policy is that the 2006 Constitution granted us the maximum level of self-government, spirit of independence, and compatible with continued British sovereignty. Constitutional reform is therefore not a GMB manifesto commitment. I also do not believe that there is an appetite in Gibraltar for further substantial devolution, even if it were possible or compatible with continued British sovereignty. The Chief Minister has today said that we need constitutional reform in order to go with that new constitution to the United Nations and try to persuade the United Nations to do this one. Our position is that our constitution is good enough for the United Nations to do this one, from the list of non-self-governing territories, and despite that, the United Nations refuses to do so. There is no guarantee that a new constitution will lead to the delisting of Gibraltar from the list of non-self-governing territories. That does not mean, however, that we're not prepared to work with the government to see whether the constitution can, in some areas, be improved. But we need to see. But we need to understand what the government intends to achieve. Once we understand that, we will then be able to put the matter before the executive committee of the GSD, which ultimately makes policy decisions. I want to make it absolutely clear that no one in this side of the House is trying to have the issue of constitutional reform decided behind closed doors. But the reality is that if the government wants our support to advance their, not our policy, their manifesto, not our manifesto commitment, in voting for a cross-party select committee, our executive will need to understand what the government wants to achieve. I remind the House that when we asked for a select committee, set up a select committee for this purpose in 1999, it was in response to an invitation to all overseas territories by the then Foreign Secretary Robin Cook, that all overseas territories should submit proposals for constitutional reform. That is an entirely different situation to the one where one party in the House has a policy of constitutional reform and the other does not. I also believe that to talk about constitutional reform this side of an EU referendum may be premature. If the people of the UK vote to leave the EU, however unlikely, our border with Spain could become a non-EU border, and an immediate, very dangerous pressure point will be created. In those circumstances, we may need to re-examine our constitutional relationship with the UK. And there may be those in Gibraltar who will argue that further devolution, however minor, is ill-advised, and that we can perhaps progress our relationship with less devolution or greater devolved integration with the United Kingdom. I make absolutely no positive comment about that at all. But what I do say is that none of it can be preempted this side of an EU referendum. Again, for the avoidance of any doubt at all, and being the reasonable chap that I am, I am prepared to be persuaded otherwise, but not in exchange of press releases or in exchange of interviews. Let us be mature about it, and let us meet and discuss the matter as we should, in order so that the government can explain to us what it wants to achieve and what are the objectives. Your Excellency, relations with Spain will also continue to occupy much of our attention. No doubt, incursions will continue, whoever is in government in Spain, but it is our hope the dangerous incidents that we have seen over the last few years will be confined to the dustbin of history. Otherwise,
I fear that sooner rather than later, there will be a serious incident leading to serious injury or worse in British Gibraltar territorial waters. The UK government too must understand that. Diplomatic protests of the sort that we have seen over the last few years have not had the desired effect, and the UK government needs to rethink. The author and US lawyer Andrew Vax once said, quote, "Life is a fight, but not everyone is a fighter. Otherwise, bullies would be an endangered species," end quote. For we are a community of 30,000 fighters, and if the United Kingdom followed our lead and showed the fight that we are willing to show the in-day-out drastic bullying that we have suffered over recent years in British Gibraltar territorial waters, would be truly a thing and a thing of the past. Your Excellency, that does not mean that there are no internal differences on these issues in Gibraltar. A number of years ago, the father of the House, the then leader of the opposition, Mr. Bassano, used this very same occasion in this House when we were welcoming the Asian Lady John to be sure to criticize the Cordoba agreements in very strong terms. In 2013, when we welcomed Sir James and Lady Dutton, I refer to the words of Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, that, and I quote, "If anyone is thinking alike, then no one is really thinking," end quote, when I outline the difference in my quote in this area between the government and the opposition. I am happy to say that there are probably less differences today than at any time in our recent history between the government and the opposition on this issue. Both sides of the House are not only resolute in our resolve to maintain well-established red lines in relation to sovereignty, jurisdiction and control of our airspace, our land and our waters, but there is an equal commitment to engaging with the Spanish government of whatever political colour or persuasion with constructive dialogue under the tripartite process. It is that process which, it has to be said, remains one of the greatest achievements of this party, the DSD, in government that underpins the policy of both sides of this House. I hope that the new Spanish government understands that the sterile policy of Mr. Margallo, of the Mr. Margallo era, does nothing for Anglo-Gibraltar-Spanish relations, and nothing for the ordinary man on the street, in particular, the ordinary working class family. It is jobs in Gibraltar and business opportunities on both sides of the frontier that will help feed their families, not repeating an empty slogan to the Spaniards yet again. The inexcusable fees at the frontier do as much damage to those ordinary working class people as anything else. Politics, at the end of the day, is about helping people, ordinary people. We're all here to improve the standard of living of ordinary people. That is what constructive dialogue seeks to achieve, and it is the antithesis of everything the Spanish government has done over the last 4 years. For my part, I will continue doing what I've been doing for the last 3 years, and that is to take in my own way that message of dialogue to universities, debating societies, and influential business groups in Spain in a confident, intelligent, and also, it has to be said, measured way, which has always been the GSD way of doing things. I hope that here too it may be possible for the government and the opposition to work out a long-term strategy to deal with these issues collectively. As a Majesty representative of Gibraltar, once again we wish you and your lady wife Lorraine a very warm welcome indeed from the Majesty's Royal Opposition.
His Excellency the Governor.
Mr. Speaker, Chief Justice, Chief Minister, Leader of the Loyal Opposition, thank you for your warm and generous welcome here in the chamber of the Gibraltar Parliament, the heart of Gibraltarian democracy. A democracy that, as I look out over today's troubled world, stands proud as a bastion of the enduring British values of freedom, tolerance, responsibility, and respect for the rule of law. My first take the opportunity to congratulate the Chief Minister and the PSLP Liberal Alliance on their recent re-election to government. Having arrived at the outset of a new parliamentary term, I look forward to working throughout the current government's tenure with the Chief Minister and the honourable members of government and the opposition in the best interest of the people of Gibraltar. Serving the United Kingdom is my passion. Being appointed as our sovereign representative in Gibraltar is a unique and singular privilege. It is a seminal moment in my life. Accordingly, it's with the utmost sense of honour and responsibility that I've just taken the oath of allegiance and due execution to Her Majesty the Queen, and been sworn in as the Governor and Commander-in-Chief of Gibraltar. In doing so, I pledge to do everything within my constitutional role to assure the sovereignty, the security, and success of Gibraltar. Equally, my wife and I pledge to do everything within our collective capacity and resolution to help progress and promote Gibraltar's vital advantages, its people, and its environment. Earnest undertakings that we both love. In making this joint commitment, we are now particularly looking forward to sharing our lives with the open, friendly, and compassionate people of Gibraltar, a few of whom we've been fortunate enough to meet during visits to the Rock throughout my 35 years of service in the Royal Marines. We are, however, both well aware that we barely skim the surface of the true spirit and substance of Gibraltar. We have a great deal to learn about Gibraltar's heritage, its culture, society, and commerce. In short, we are very much looking forward to learning about the Gibraltarian way of life. As our top priority, we want to get to know and listen to as broad a cross-section of the people of Gibraltar as is possible, so we can grow to understand our hopes and fears for the future. I must anticipate a prospect, as having spoken to a number of our predecessors over the last 4 months, it's abundantly clear that to know the people of Gibraltar is to deeply admire, respect, and enjoy them. Lorraine and I have no doubt we will feel exactly the same. I'm especially proud that it's another Royal Marine taking over as the Governor and Commander-in-Chief. I know that every man and woman in the Royal Marine Corps regards having a Royal Marine appointed as Governor as a source of great regimental pride. The word Gibraltar is on the tabard of every Royal Marine in recognition of the Corps' first great battle honour, awarded for the capture and defence of the Rock over 311 years ago. And equally significant, the Corps is honoured to hold a distinction of being able to exercise the freedom of the city. Manifest proof that the people of Gibraltar and the Royal Marines enjoy the priceless bond of mutual understanding, trust and respect, forged over 100 years of shared endeavour. It is a bond I intend to strengthen in my role as Commander-in-Chief of the Royal Gibraltar Regiment. For all I've heard and read about Gibraltar in recent months, I judge the support of the United Kingdom to the government of Gibraltar and its people has never been stronger or more openly expressed. A contention was underscored by the Foreign Secretary, who said recently that the people of Gibraltar have an inviolable right to remain British, and the United Kingdom government would respect that right for as long as the people of the Rock wish that to be so. Nonetheless, I would like to use this occasion of my swearing in as Governor and Commander-in-Chief to reaffirm the United Kingdom's assurances on sovereignty underpinned by the Gibraltarian people's right of self-determination. The constitutional commitment of the United Kingdom is clear. Her Majesty's government will never enter into arrangements under which the people of Gibraltar will pass under the sovereignty of another state against their freely and democratically expressed wishes. Furthermore, Her Majesty's government has also declared publicly and repeatedly that it will never enter a process of negotiation about the sovereignty of the Rock without the Gibraltar government's consent. Accordingly, my touchstone principle as Gibraltar progresses confidently forward will be the people of Gibraltar's inevitable right of self-determination and the upholding of the commitment to secure the people of Gibraltar's consent in all matters that pertain to the sovereignty of Gibraltar. Mr. Speaker, I have listened intently to the words of the Chief Minister and the Honourable Leader of the Opposition on the day of my appointment is confirmed, and especially so here today in the Chamber. I share their view that Gibraltar has made remarkable progress over recent years in developing its system of governance, its security and environmental resilience, and its prosperity. I also unequivocally support their keen determination to make Gibraltar's relationship with Spain as mutually respectful and gainful as it could and should be. More widely, I look forward to working with all parties involved in the leadership of Gibraltar to ensure that Gibraltar remains on its mettle to protect, progress, and promote itself in a world of growing global threats to our values, freedom, security, and prosperity. Risks that I know the people of Gibraltar will tackle with a characteristic resolve and innovation. Risks that I know that the government of Gibraltar will continue to overcome with patient, pragmatic, and persistent enterprise and outreach. But we must not be complacent. Since the moment my appointment as governor of Gibraltar was confirmed, the Royal and I have become increasingly enthused and excited at the prospect of making Gibraltar our home for the next 4 years. The truly moving and humbling welcome that we have received today a testament to the fact that our belief in the warmth and kindness of the people of Gibraltar was indeed well founded. We look forward to continuing to enjoy and be enriched by this warmth and kindness as we strive to serve the people of Gibraltar to the best of our ability and most special honour. Mr. Speaker, I'm delighted to be able to conclude with a message from Her Majesty the Queen. It is asking to convey her continued gratitude for the loyalty of the people of Gibraltar and her best wishes on the occasion of the swearing in of her 22nd Governor of Gibraltar during her reign.